Now, we're trying to make this hashtag happen, aren't we, Mark? Hashtag Travel Mum is going to work.
Leave me alone.
Travel Mum.
Yeah, and our Travel Mum is here with us once again. Travel Mum being Andrea Bailey. How are you doing, Andrea?
Hi, all good. Thanks, Mark.
Good to see you. You were at the Lit Fest, weren't you, with the family?
Yes, I brought the kids along. Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes, they did. There was a treasure hunt that they enjoyed doing. So we're hoping to win the prize with Emirates, yes.
Yeah, it was a fabulous weekend. Mm. And, of course, each and every week you come along and look at family-friendly holidays, whether it be resorts, whether it be, you know, camping. But this week we are going on a cruise, which traditionally, you know, cruising for many years been considered to be for the more mature traveller, let's say.
Yes, that's right. I mean, for a long time, it was perceived as something that retirees would do.
Yeah.
You would work your whole life and then, you know, retire and go on the cruise. And But it's changed a lot now, I would say. It's changed to like a lot of family travel, a lot of honeymooners even. Very popular with the bachelorette groups as well. So, you know, groups of girls and boys and whatever, first friends going together. So I think that as a perception has changed, and which means the industry has actually grown, the cruising industry. Mm-hmm. To like a multi-billion dollar industry now, I would say.
Now, I just want to turn to Mark for a second, because you used to work on a cruise liner. What's changed? Have we, the travellers, changed in our perceptions of cruises? Now families are more willing to go on these trips, or have the cruises themselves changed to accommodate families?
Yeah, I think they have. The size of the ships has just gone ginormous. It's huge. And the actual facilities on board now are geared up a lot more to families. You can still get your cruises that are a bit more sedate and the elderly or the more mature traveller will go on. I mean, there's so many different cruise lines, even Disney have got cruises going out there, which are totally family orientated, completely geared up, you know, to families. They've even got their own island out there in the Caribbean. We heard that the other day. Royal Caribbean is another big favourite, and they've just launched, of course, what will be the world's biggest cruise liner.
Yeah, and I know, Andrea, you want to touch upon that trip in just a few minutes' time. But let's start from the beginning. Mm. Say a family's tuned into the show right now. Mm-hmm. They've got, I don't know, maybe two young children. What do they need to know about cruising?
So it would depend on, first of all, where they want to go. Because the cruise is for primarily two types of people. One group would be the type that would enjoy the ship and the facilities. And the other group would be those that enjoy destinations and to see maybe three or four countries in the space of a week. Families, I think, for the family, like, for example, that you're talking about, I would say that the cruise is great because it's A, economical. B, you would actually get to go on at least 3 to 4 excursions. You'd have a lot to see. So the children would enjoy that. As well as the facilities on board as a big plus, because there's so much that children can do on board. And if I go into detail, it would be, for example, there's kids club for the younger ones. There's something for the teens. There's swimming pools. There's rock climbing walls. And it goes on and on.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's a lot to do.
Let's talk about some itineraries around the world, because like you said, it depends on where you want to go.
Yes.
Now families, for instance, if they wanted to go to the Mediterranean, there's so many different places to choose from.
Yeah, one of the most popular itineraries to start with, my recommendation would be Europe, and therein we would look at the Mediterranean as one of the most popular. So you'd have the Eastern and the Western Mediterranean. Having said Mediterranean, now I would say the 7-night is typically the length of the normal cruise that a family would, you know, go on, or passengers would go on. So the Western Mediterranean would actually include Rome and Florence, Barcelona, touching Naples, Cannes, Palma, Mallorca. So that kind of ring around the Western Med. You also have an itinerary on the Eastern Mediterranean. So you have the east of Italy, which is, you have Venice, and then going down to the Greek islands, touching Turkey even, Ephesus. So those are the two popular ones in the Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned itineraries for families, and the fact that I'm just looking at some of them now. They do stop in so many different cities, but are they family friendly?
Yes, they are, because what the cruise ship does is, and Mark, you would know this, they actually organize the excursions from on board the ship. So you could actually go to the desk, the excursion desk, book the tours with them, and then hop on a bus, and they would actually take you on the tour and bring you back. So that would be great if you're a family with small children.
Yeah.
Alternatively, there are cities where, like, for example, Barcelona, where it's actually really easy to just get out on your own as well. So you could just get off the ship, get into a taxi, go see the city, but then you would need to get back in time for this, you know, before the ship sails off.
Yeah, absolutely. that is one of the big...
We all know about that.
Yeah, yes, we
the
do.
The big things. Make sure that you leave plenty of time, you know, to... certainly, you know, think about traffic, maybe, if you're coming through a city in a taxi or a hire car, as happened with Steph and I.
Don't travel with Steph. That's the bottom line.
As long as you're not with Steph, you'll be fine. you know, the actual organized tours as well are superb. Really go, and, you know, you're guaranteed to be back on board. You're guaranteed to see the sights of the city.
Yes.
I personally would go for the pre-organized itineraries from the cruise line.
Mm. Andrea, I just want to jump in and ask you about the extra costs, because I'm sure a lot of the costs are included once you're on the boat, once you're actually on the cruise ship. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot is included in the package. But what are the extras that families need to be careful about?
Yeah, so I mentioned it was economical to go on a cruise. What's included to start with, I would say, would be the snacks, the meals on board, and your recreational activities. So you've got your entertainment, of course, your evening shows, and all of that is included. What would be the extra costs would be excursions, like the ones that you want to go on in each city that you stop at, the spa, of course, and if you want to actually dine at a certain restaurant within the ship, then you would have to actually pay extra for that.
Mm. Yeah, because so many of these ships now have got signature restaurants.
That's correct.
You know,
that's correct.
As well as the main dining area where, you know, you can go, and that's obviously a part of what you've paid for your cruise. But if you want to, you know, go a bit more upmarket, maybe you know, sample something that's a little bit special, then your signature restaurants you would pay on top.
Yes, correct. And you would have to book in advance for those as well.
Yeah.
Even the main dining, you actually have to, on a lot of ships, book your time for dinner. Because they normally have two seatings depending on the number of people. And these ships nowadays, like you said, Mark, they're really big. It's 3,000 plus, and the Harmony that's coming out, of course, is a lot more. So, I mean, you have to choose and you have to plan ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to hear a little bit about cruising through a youngster's eyes. tell me about these.
So...
Let's hear her first, shall we? From a youngster who's just been on a cruise.
My favorite part of the cruise were the shows every night, because there was lights and music and dancing.
Right. Oh. Okay, the shows. You have to tell us about the shows now.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, anyone who's cruised before would tell you the shows are absolutely mind-boggling. They're just on par with Broadway and West End, and you'd have all these world-class performers. You'd have these acrobat acts and, you know, lots of light and sound, and it's a whole experience by itself, and you should not miss it. And yeah, most people actually go for it. So
this is a question to Mark and to Andrea, because I'm going on a cruise at the beginning of June, really excited about it, but I'm not used to this more, I suppose, slower, luxurious type of traveling. For me, when I think of traveling, I either think of being crammed in this tiny plane or you know, a train or a car. This seems to be a totally different type of travel. So does it take some time to get used to it?
I don't think it does. I think you just fall into it and absolutely love it. From you know, I think even just the experience of boarding the ship is amazing. You know, once you're on board, a lot of these cruise lines now have got fabulous cruise terminals that they pull into. So it's basically like checking into a hotel. You arrive there with your baggage. It's taken from you, all labeled. You check in, and then you get your card, which basically covers everything. If you want to, you know, buy some drinks on board, if you want to use it for the gift shop or whatever, you've got your own little credit card almost that will be charged at the end of it. And then once you're on, it's even fun the first couple of hours, because, or the first hour or so, because you'll be called for your lifeboat drill, and you'll all shoot off to your stations, and you know, you'll stand there, the muster stations is what they're called, and you'll stand there, and a member of crew will be with you, and you know, that's part of maritime law, and you just get to know each other, you get to know a few people, you know, where are you from, have you cruised before, and all this kind of thing, and you just straight into the social side of things, you know, almost even before the ship has actually cast off and left its port.
You know, Andrea, one of my good friends, Munch, who's Mexican, worked for many years on cruise ships. Yes, Munch, that's her nickname. And she worked in the creche. with all the children on the cruise ships. And she said these creches were second to none. They are very, very luxurious.
Yes, yeah. They've got all state-of-the-art toys and, you know, all the latest things, all the gadgets in there. And you can actually leave your child, but then below a certain age, you would have to stay with them, I think. So that is one. And Mark, touching upon the fire drill, you know, the boat drill, that is actually compulsory. And apparently some of the companies say that if you miss three of them, you won't be allowed to board your next ship. They've actually got, quite strict about that.
Yeah.
So that's a good tip to know. You know, you shouldn't be bunking those. You have to be going for
them. But it, as I say, that, you know, they do make it fun.
Yes, they do. They do. It's a great experience.
They'll show you a welcome video as well. We're going to come back, look at another couple of itineraries and, you know, take in the family for a cruising holiday with Mum Travel.